Morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you'd like to turn to Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 30, and that will be followed by Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed travelled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all of their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And then moving on to Acts 13, 1 to 3. Now in the church at Antioch, there are prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, for the work to which I have called them." So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. We thank God for the reading of his word. Andrew. Can I pray for you before we talk?
Yes.
Dear Lord, thank you for Andrew. Thank you for the service he provides this church as minister and pastor, Lord. And just bless his words this morning. Make them your words rather than his words, Lord. And just be with him and guide him through. Amen.
Don't forget the kitchen sink, Tom. Good morning, everybody, once again, and a very happy new year to you. I don't know whether you are hoping for a new year message from me this morning, like you would perhaps from the Archbishop. I'm afraid you're not going to get one. But there are two reflections that I wanted to offer and share with you that I hope are helpful for all of us. The first came just before Christmas, when we met for one of our morning prayer meetings, and in the silence, I sensed God speaking to me, and God spoke to me actually with just one word. It was a very simple, yet deep and profound word, and that word is boldness. As I reflected on this word that God had given me, I asked the question, what does the Lord require of me? What is he trying to say to me? What is he trying to say to us as I receive this word, boldness? Well, I sense two answers. The first being boldness in personal faith. Perhaps we've become stagnant in our faith. Perhaps we have allowed ourselves to draw away from God due to disappointment or even exhaustion. Perhaps God is no longer a priority in our lives and our discipleship has taken a back seat. I sense this is the time to be bold in our personal faith once again. And I sense this boldness also concerns the proclamation of Christ. There are some great opportunities to proclaim Jesus Christ in 2018. We've already heard about the Alpha course, and Alpha was one of the highlights of last year, I think. We have another opportunity with the Alpha course being delivered here to be bold, to proclaim Jesus Christ as our Lord, as Savior, to proclaim that the Labour Party and Jeremy Corbyn is not the hope for this nation, even though they say they are and he is, but that Jesus is the hope for our nation. Jesus is the hope for all the nations. He is the one who will bring real transformation. Amen. So may 2018 be the year where we are bold in our proclamation of Jesus Christ. And I encourage you to be part of these initiatives that are running, the Alpha course. You'll read in the update about Hope 2018, and I have a particular role in that, and I would love you as a church to support Hope 2018. But every single one of you has the opportunity to proclaim Christ wherever it is that God sends you tomorrow, whether that be the workplace or the home, whether that be in your neighborhoods, whether that be in the cafe that you go into, whether it be the supermarket, whether it be just to your children. We all have the opportunity to proclaim Christ. So may 2018 be the one where we exercise boldness in the proclamation of Christ. And then secondly, I reflected on the daily devotion sent to my phone just last week with words written by Paul in Philippians chapter 3. He says, "Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." I'll just say that again. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. There seem to be many who have found 2017 to be a difficult year. Have you heard that? Have you experienced that yourself? 2017 seemed to be a difficult year for many, and perhaps you are one of them. But rather than strain for what is behind, let us all strain for what is before us. Let us all strain towards what lies ahead, and ultimately strive to serve God in 2018. I think for us here at CBC, the past has perhaps exhausted us. And I wonder whether 2018 is the time where we take hold of those reins again and we run with God. We commit ourselves to running with Him and serving Him again, as He seeks to do a new thing here at CBC. Let's forget the past and strive on in Christ Jesus, because He has so much in store for us. He has so much in store for us. Let's not miss this opportunity, but let's go with Him. Let's run with Him as we serve Him in 2018. So there's my short New Year message. And now we're going to get on to the real business. This morning, I want to preach on the six core values of CBC, which are taken from the example for church in Antioch, as we've just read in Acts chapter 11 and 13. These values have been part of the mission and ministry of this church for a number of years now. And when I came as minister, I guess I had the opportunity to say, well, these values are no longer valid for us as a church. But for me, I read them and I believe in them. For me, these values speak of a church, a mission and a ministry that I want to be part of. And so we continue to serve God. We continue to have a mission and a ministry that is underpinned by these six core values. And I want to explore them with you this morning. And we're only going to be able to touch on them, because otherwise you'll be here until Christmas 2018, and I'm sure you wouldn't want that. You might have a chicken in the oven, or a turkey if you've got any left. So the six core values of CBC, as understood to be in the life and underpinning the life and the ministry of a church in Antioch, The first of our six core values at CBC is distinctive Christianity. This distinctive faith led to the church or the disciples in Antioch being scattered by persecution. I don't think we can escape the fact that these Christians were distinctive to the point where they were persecuted for their distinctiveness. And we read in Acts 11, verse 19, that these disciples were part of those scattered due to persecution. And we also read in verse 26 that they were the first disciples to be Christians. Such was their distinctiveness. What does it mean to be identified as Christian, I hear you cry? Well, for one biblical scholar, to be Christian is to belong to Christ. What does it mean to belong? Well, the English Oxford Dictionary says that to belong is to be the property of someone or something. Perhaps another more helpful understanding for being Christian and having belonging to Christ is to be attached to Jesus Christ, joined, fastened, or connected. One of my middle daughter's pastimes at the moment is to free herself from the straps of her car seat. As you can imagine, it's not much fun when you're driving on the M25 or the QE bridge when the wind is strong. And we recently bought her something from Mothercare called the anti-escape system. I have to admit, being a man, being a dad, going to the shop to find something to help me, I was attracted by this title, the anti-escape system. And here's a little picture of what it looks like. The anti-escape system is supposed to do what it says on the tin or the box. But alas, my daughter escapes from the anti-escape system. Yes, she's a strong-willed girl, my middle daughter, Ruby. If you haven't come across her, you soon will. Just make sure you hold onto your coffee cup tight. And the hope for us at CBC is that our faith in Jesus Christ will remain so strong that we will belong to Christ. We will be joined with him. We will be fastened with him. We will be connected with him so closely that we will not break free from him. That we will not flee him. We will not walk away. We will not follow another, but we will remain attached, fastened to Jesus Christ. We will walk and journey so closely to him that we are identified with the Antioch believers as being distinctively Christian by those who live with us, those who work with us, those who eat and drink with us, those who come into contact with us, even on the road or in the shop, wherever it may be, that we will be identified as Christians, those who belong to Jesus Christ. This is the first of our values. The second is authentic spirituality. And the Christians in Antioch had an authentic spirituality, best understood as a genuine spirituality. And the marks of their authentic or genuine Christian faith is seen in their telling the good news about Jesus, verse 20. Listening to the teaching of Barnabas and Saul, verse 26. Responding to the Spirit given through Agabus, the prophet, verses 27 to 28. And their worshipping of the Lord and fasting, as we read in chapter 13, verse 2. These are all marks, I hope, are seen in us collectively as we prioritize evangelism, teaching, prophecy, prayer, and worship. But marks that I hope we are all individually, personally committed to. But the words in Acts 11, verses 22 to 23, I think say a lot about the genuine or authentic spirituality of this church. We read that when Barnabas was sent to Antioch by the church at Jerusalem, he arrived to see evidence of the grace of God, which one Bible commentator relates to the changed lives that he witnessed, and another to the visible blessing of God on the church in Antioch. Either way, what a wonderful thing to say about a church. What a wonderful thing to say about a group of Christians, a group of followers of Jesus. There was evidence of God's grace among them. Whether that be changed lives, whether that be the presence of God, whether that be his blessing, there was evidence of God's grace. And I wonder, is there evidence of God's grace here at CBC? I'm trying to imagine what your answer is to that question. I can imagine there are many who might say, maybe not. And perhaps that's how you feel towards this church. But I want to say that I think we can see many evidences of God's grace in this church. And let's not make these things complicated. Let's simplify them. There's evidence of God's grace here because somebody welcomed you as you walked in this morning. There's evidence of God's grace because somebody will serve you with a tea or a coffee, hopefully a biscuit, I can't promise it. There's evidence of God's grace because there have been people who have sacrificed their time to be here, to play their instruments, so that we can worship God together. There's evidence of God's grace here. There are people who tomorrow morning will be praying for you. You might not know anything about it, but they'll be here praying for you. There is evidence of God's grace, I believe, in this community. A wonderful thing to say about a people, and it is my hope, our hope, that there is evidence of God's grace at CBC. But we also read that Barnabas reminded them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts, verse 23. Remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And now this is an intriguing line because he doesn't say, can I remind you to become true to the Lord? He says, remain true to the Lord, which suggests that they were true to the Lord. He was just simply encouraging them to remain in him. As Jesus himself in John 15 asked that his disciples remain in him as he is with us. It's a word of encouragement that seems to indicate for me the authenticity of the faith of those in Antioch, affirmed by the presence and the blessing of God among them. Now, I've seen various writing in the last year about millennials. Has anyone heard of millennials in this place today? Hands up. I'm seeing nods. Oh, quite a few. That's surprising. Well, for those who don't know, millennials, or Generation Y, I'm having to read my notes here, are said to be those born from the early 80s through to the turn of the millennium. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that means I just about squeeze in. Although when I attended a conference, I was denied the privilege of being called a millennial, which was very frustrating. But it's said that millennials want transparency. They are naturally skeptical of advertising. They want the opportunity to develop trust and know they are dealing with real human beings, not faceless corporations. They want authenticity. And so the challenge for us as God's church is not to make false promises or to offer irrelevant and airbrushed spirituality, but rather genuine and authentic faith that values relationship and trust. My hope is that we are a church with authentic spirituality. I certainly do not preach on a Sunday what I don't believe in. When I come to this lectern or pulpit, I come to share with you my heart. I don't come to tell you things that I don't believe. I couldn't do that with any integrity in me. And so as I speak and preach on a Sunday, I do so seeking to be authentic, genuine. I don't try to present a different person here on the platform to the one that hopefully you'll meet on the street or at the door as you go. But there's authenticity in me as a Christian and as a minister. And it's my hope that we encourage through our various acts of worship here, true, honest, and heartfelt, genuine worship in you. That we encourage that authenticity in your own faith and in your own walk with Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of David's calling in 1 Samuel 16, where we read, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I think Matt Redman or Tim Hughes described it in a slightly different way. They said, God isn't interested by what you're doing on stage. He's more interested by what you're doing off stage, in the green room, when you go home and the door is shut and no one else can see you. God is interested in how authentic your spirituality is then. Thirdly, the church in Antioch exercise strategic mission, the third value of CBC. And this is a funny one for me, because I don't think there was anything particularly strategic about their mission. For me, the Christians in Antioch simply did what Jesus had instructed his disciples to do. Do you remember that instruction in Matthew 28? It's there somewhere, I can hear it. He said, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this is what they did. Should we move on to point four? No, we won't. We won't stop there. Having said that, the Christians in Antioch told the good news to a different people group, as we read at the beginning of our passage in verses 19 to 20. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. So they strategically went out of their comfort zone and preached to a people group unreached, but welcomed into the kingdom of God, thanks to the gift and the sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He came to save not just the Jews, but he came to save people like you and me, the Gentiles. And thank God that he did it, because we wouldn't be included. And the disciples in Antioch, they strategically went out of their comfort zone to share the gospel with those who were once excluded, who were once on the margins. Paul tells us in Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. They strategically went to preach the gospel to those who were once outside of this relationship with God. And I preached last term on the Father's heart for those who are marginalized. You may or may not remember it, and that's fine. It's on the website if you want to listen to it again. It's very good. Apparently. But I spoke about the fact that the Father's heart is for the marginalized. Those who are outside, those who are excluded. That's why Jesus came, to live and to die and to rise again. So that those who were once far off could be brought near, could be brought into relationship with him, could be saved for all eternity long. And my heart and my desire is to share the good news with those who are not only needy practically, but are marginalized by faith because of the lack of knowledge, because they have never met Jesus before, because they've never heard the gospel preached. And let me tell you, we are in that generation, ladies and gentlemen, where some know absolutely nothing about the God that we love and serve and worship. I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. There was once a story of a mum who was walking to a toddler group with her toddler. Makes sense. And they were walking to this group, and the toddler pointed to a crucifix on the front of a church. And this toddler asked his mum, "Mum, what's that? Or rather, who's that?" And to her shame, the mum didn't know. And so she turned to the friends that they were walking with and asked, "Do you know who this person is?" None of her friends knew who this person on the cross was. And they went to their group, and again they found there were some who knew, but the majority didn't know who this man on the cross was, let alone the story of the cross. I bring us back to my New Year message, brief though it was. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be bold in our faith. If Jesus really matters to us, if you want to see others inherit the inheritance and the promises that we have, we need to be bold. Genuine, but distinctive and bold. Are we up for that challenge in 2018? I've got no idea where I am on my notes. I've found it. So that's the first thing. There's another strategic way in which the church in Antioch did mission that I don't think we can ignore and has meant something for us as a church. And we see this strategic theme mainly in Acts 13, but actually throughout the reading that we've shared together. You see, Antioch saw people being sent to them and people sent away from them. And perhaps the most striking one is the one of Barnabas and Saul being sent out from Antioch. And I'll say a bit more about that in the next value. But there is something beautiful about that. The sharing of resources is beautiful. The willingness of the church in Antioch to send Barnabas and Saul out to be a blessing to others is beautiful. And we have had the privilege as a church to see people be amongst us and then be sent out to be a blessing. People like Doug and Charlie Waller, who are now serving in Woodbridge, Woodbridge Baptist Church or Woodbridge Quay. And they are being a blessing. It's difficult, it's challenging, but they are being a blessing to the church and to the community where they are situated. Claire Jackson, who was sent from here to Mozambique. Damaris, is Damaris here this morning? No, she's at work. Very good. Damaris has been sent from this church to go and serve with Mercy Ships in the Cameroon, and she's back from her trip, her six-month trip. She's now trying to recover from that experience and process what she saw. But we were able to send her out to be a blessing to people, not just in this country, but into another. We've got Tom here, who is being trained here at CBC and at Spurgeon's College to be eventually, one day, it's inevitable, to be sent away from Canterbury to be a blessing to others. And there's the potential of Paul and Julie doing the same. Charlotte went to her first day of teaching at Bristol Bible College yesterday, and again, we are delighted. I am delighted to be part of what God is doing in this young woman. And I hope and pray that we will see God bless people through her here, but in other places as well. It's a privilege, isn't it? And an honor and a blessing to see these people being trained and matured and built up to then be sent out and be a blessing to other communities. And it is my hope that we'll continue to see that. I get a sense that actually this is part of God's plan for us as a church. He's been doing it here for many years now. And I just sense that this is part of what we're here for, to see people trained, equipped, and sent. But the reality, as I've already said, is that every Sunday, you all sit here in your seats, and you are sent out at the end of a service to serve God, to be missionaries, wherever it is he has placed you. And that may well be the toddler group. It may be the office. It might be the hospital. It might be in the retirement complex. I've got to avoid looking at anyone in particular. It's not your time yet. But wherever God has placed you, we are called to this same commission. Go and make disciples of all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is a value of CBC. We're getting there, folks. Value number four, true generosity. And we see generosity, rich generosity within the Church of Antioch. I've already spoken about human resources being sent out from the church. And this does symbolize, represent the generosity of this church. And again, it's a privilege and an honor to see that same generosity replicated here. But the generosity of Antioch is perhaps seen most clearly in their financial provision for those experiencing famine in Judea. We read in Acts 11, verse 29, "The disciples, as each one was able, or according to their ability, decided to provide help for the brothers and sisters living in Judea." And I'm struck by this verse because there is a sense of collective response. One or two didn't decide to give something in response. They decided together, collectively, and each one gave according to their ability. I'm struck by the fact that this was a shared responsibility by the church in Antioch. Inspired by this value in Antioch, we too are committed to using our financial and our human resources to encourage and bless brothers and sisters, both abroad and locally. We're leaders in ecumenical partnership in the city. We send preachers and musicians to other churches in the region and have responded to emergency need with special offerings such as the Christmas offering when we collected for a bereaved family in Uganda. There is, of course, more we could and can do, as is the case with all of these values. But we are doing similarly to the church in Antioch. We are being generous to our brothers and sisters across the nations. I was struck by the story of another church recently who held a love offering, apparently with no specific or strategic plan given for the use of this money. We're just going to have a love offering today. Give what you can. And this church raised over £100,000 in one service, one offering. Michelle's getting excited on the front row here. There's no love offering today, although. And they took this offering, and the minister now needs to decide what they're going to do with it. And this struck me. Because I, as a minister, have been told before, you know, if we have a good project, then people will give. If you deliver a good sermon, people will give. But for me, this example actually just shows rich generosity in the people of that church. There was no strategic plan. There was no project. Maybe it was a good sermon, I didn't hear it. But there was generosity in God's people who simply wanted to give of their financial resources so this church could be a blessing to Canterbury, to the community, and beyond. Can we exercise generosity as God's people? Do each of us give as we are able? Do we give what is appropriate in the eyes of God? And for me, that's what matters most of all. Authentic spirituality. As God looks upon the ways in which he has provided for me and blessed me and given me all the things that I can't take with me when I die, does he say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Does he say, well done, you are using your gifts, your provision well for my glory and for my kingdom? I have to ask those questions of myself as much as each one of you does. Are we giving each as we are able? Are we giving what is appropriate in the eyes of God, who has given us everything? Everything is his. The generosity of God's people. The more you're able to give financially to us at CBC, the more we are able to do for God's glory and for God's kingdom. And if you would like to give more, if you'd like to give for the first time, if you'd like to help us by completing a gift aid declaration form, then we'd love to talk to you. Our fifth value is ethnic diversity. And I've already identified that Christians in Antioch sought to bring good news, not just to the Jews, but to the Greeks, inevitably inviting a diverse church. The fullness of God's kingdom is one where before Jesus, there are and will be people from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Whilst churches that appeal to one generation, whether it be Generation Y or another, whilst they might be attractive or can be attractive, I am committed to being part of a church and leading a church as far as it is possible that represents the breadth of God's kingdom. It's not easy. And I recognize that. But my ambition is to be part of a church that represents God's family. And it was a great blessing. When I was in Leicester serving in Central Baptist Church, it was a great blessing to lead a church that was hugely diverse. Hugely diverse. I had some great church lunches, I tell you. I think I have lost weight since I came back from Leicester. It's no surprise, to be honest. But it was great to be part of a diverse church. And for me, there's something about being in a diverse congregation. And I think ultimately it is that it represents God's kingdom. The breadth and the fullness of God's kingdom. And there is more to come in his kingdom. Hallelujah. And so we're committed to being a church that is diverse. It's a joy to have ministries for toddlers, ministries for children and young people at CBC, to have ministries for students and internationals, men and women, to have ministries for the more senior in age. And we will continue to build on these ministries. But let me say to you, whatever your age or nationality, you are very welcome at CBC. We're delighted to have you. Whether you're from Canterbury, another place in the country, or from another nation, we are delighted to have you here. Whether you are young or old, we are delighted to have you part of this family as we seek to represent God's kingdom. And then finally, growth. The church in Antioch valued growth as we do. We've read about this growth as the good news was told and people believed. Acts 11, verse 21, a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. Verse 24, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. And this is our ambition too, ladies and gentlemen, to be a church where those who don't know Jesus Christ would come to find him. In Canterbury, there is a great deal of mobility. Perhaps you've been part of it. Members who transfer from one church to another, and the cycle goes on. But you know, I'm far more interested in being a church that grows by conversion rather than transference. And I don't say that to say that any of you who have come here are not welcome. That's not what I'm saying. But I am committed to being part of a church that is seeking to make new disciples. Amen. I came here to see this baptistry being used, and it was a delight to open the baptistry and to get all the new warning poles and things out for when we opened the baptistry just before Christmas. I want to see more people come to faith. This is why we do the Alpha course. And I'm not going to hide that from you. I'm here to see new disciples made. And I would love to be part of a church that is growing by conversion. That's why we're committed to sharing Jesus with people on the streets of Canterbury through our Sent ministry. That's why we have the Alpha course. That's why we have the community hub. That's why we need to be committed to equipping you for telling the good news where God has placed you during the week. And I see that need, that God is placing you where he wants you to be. He's placing you to be a blessing and to make new disciples. Then we need to help you in that task as a church. But I'm struck by the fact that in Antioch, great numbers of people were taught by Barnabas and Saul. In verse 26, we read that they were taught for a whole year. And there is something compelling about not only their desire to share the good news, but be taught and have maturity in the faith. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers, like me, to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Oh. Sounds like a tough task, doesn't it? Attain to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Can we be committed in this new year to becoming more spiritually mature? Can we commit ourselves to attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? This is why we have small groups. This is what our church services are for. This is what our church bookstall is for. This is why I am here, to equip you to go and serve God, to equip you so that you might mature in the faith. Are we motivated? And do we want to attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ? We have the possibility to find this maturity here at CBC if we are willing and if we desire this wholeness for ourselves. So these are the six core values of CBC, and you all breathe a sigh of relief. But for me, they are compelling. For me, they are exciting. For me, I study this church in Antioch. I consider these values for us at CBC. And I think, yes, this is the type of church that I want to be part of. I hope that's how you feel as we move into 2018. And as you were part of the family here at Canterbury Baptist Church. It is not just the responsibility of a few to fulfill these six values. It is the responsibility of all of us together to fulfill these values and to strive after the things of God. And so let me gently encourage you in conclusion to play your part and to do what you can to help us fulfill these six values. Perhaps you could give of your time in prayer. Perhaps you could give of your skills in service. And I want to just say thank you to all of those who already do so much in this church. And there is a huge number of people who do serve, so thank you. Perhaps you could give of your resources in finance to help us fulfill these six core values. As I say, these values are not the work of a few, but the responsibility of us all. So let's have boldness. Let's put the past behind us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for your word, and we thank you for the example for church in Antioch. Lord, we thank you for their distinctive Christianity. We thank you for their authentic spirituality. We thank you, Lord God, for their mission, for the way in which they sought to tell the good news about Jesus Christ and sent out our brothers to serve you in the nations. Thank you for their generosity. Thank you for their diversity. Thank you, Lord God, that this was a church that grew, not just in number, but in maturity. Lord, we have identified these values as being our own. And so we pray, Lord, that these six values would be fulfilled in and through this church. Help us to identify the ways in which we can be part of the fulfillment of these values. And help us, Lord, to listen to your voice now as you speak to us, as you challenge us, as you invite us to be part of this journey. In Jesus' name we pray.